Marketing for Humans, bringing the human back into marketing. Hi there, I'm Christina Fry, founder of Innate Marketing Genius, where how you love to help people informs how you get business. Do you know your deepest why in serving others? I have identified 5 innate marketing genius types, and knowing your type answers this question. The types include nurturers, adventure guides, door openers, steady presences, and celebrators. So if you're curious, you can discover your genius type at innatemarketinggenius.com. I decided that I needed to show the magic of people's deepest why in action. In season 5 of Marketing for Humans, I get to do this. I put myself in a marketing hot seat, invite dynamic entrepreneurs as my guests, and then act as their marketing consultant for about 45 minutes. So if you want some calmer, more focused and authentic marketing ideas, these are your episodes. And I do them according to the innate marketing genius type. Sometimes you'll even get the input of my colleague, Jen Wentworth, who is a digital marketing expert based in New Hampshire. Today, we will be hearing from Lisa Ann Schraffa-Santon, a personal stylist based in the North Shore of Boston. Lisa is a door opener, which means she loves opening up doors of perception for people, and also she has a background with Eileen Fisher. She cares deeply about sustainability, which I love because I just figured out how to buy used clothing online with ThredUp. Working with Lisa means you will feel great every day by owning a sustainable, empowering wardrobe that works for your lifestyle. Let's welcome Lisa. All right, it's official. Welcome, Lisa Ann Santon Schraff. Did I say that right?
Too many names. Lisa Ann Schraffa-Santon. I had to keep that Schraffa because I married later. And not too many people know the new name Santon, so.
Okay.
There you have the story.
All right, and we'll just call you Lisa. And I'm Christina Fry, and then we have Jen Wentworth from Cleverlight. Welcome, Jen.
Thank you. Thank you for having me today. Nice to see you guys.
Yeah, we are trying something new here on Marketing for Humans, and that is we're doing a marketing hot seat where Lisa has volunteered to talk about her business a little bit. I'm going to really drill down on her value, like as her, you know, how she loves helping people. What's the natural way she affects people? Like, and how can we translate that into messaging? It's just a real quick example of what I do with all my clients. So we're just going to have fun and see how that goes today. And then we'll move into more, hey, what's a good strategy? And how are you already doing with your website and things like that? And this will all happen in the space of about 45 minutes. So we're going to just zoom in and zoom out. Here we go. You ready for the ride?
We're ready.
All right. So Lisa, what's your innate marketing genius type?
I'm a door opener.
Cool. And if you haven't heard about these different types, a door opener has this amazing ability to look at things from a lot of different perspectives. They tend to be natural educators. They have lots and lots of ideas. Sometimes are challenged to focus in on one idea at a time. So before we go down that road, I would love to hear, you know, for anyone who doesn't know you, tell us about your business, what you do, who you help.
Great. So my business is Last Wardrobe. It's basically image consulting, but that sounds too fancy. So, you know, really I'm a coach. I'm coaching women and those who identify as women and dress in that way to really bring all of their elements of their personality together, mindful of their budget, mindful of what kind of career they are in, and then use all of the wardrobe elements to really kind of brand themselves with whatever their career is or their own business or whatever aspirations they have for moving into a different career or another mode of life.
I like that. And you put it in a transformational way. It's like, this is not just about looking good. This is sort of how can you align how you look and how you feel with where you're headed in your life?
Yes, I'm sort of the anti-fashion person who works in fashion, or I like to call myself a therapist with a rolling rack, because it's not really about what the woman is wearing. What is she choosing in terms of brands or price point? It's about activating agency for her to be her best self in the world that she moves in.
Right.
So I'm kind of like funny that way.
Yeah, I love it. And actually, that's an interesting marketing challenge, because it's always, do you want to lead with the deeper value that you bring to the table? Or do you want to just open the door and know, you know, I don't mean to reference your door opener self, but do you want to just open the door to a practical result? And then on the back end, people are like, oh my gosh, I didn't just, you know, get this gorgeous wardrobe. I also feel so much better about myself. And I'm much more prepared to then, you know, go out and do interviews, right? So that's always like a good marketing challenge. It's like, how much of the back end result do you want to talk about? Because that may or may not sell what you do. Because there's a lot, like I did dog training last summer, and she could do the same thing, because frankly, it's a very empowering process for any dog owner. But she doesn't really lead with that. She just says, I'm going to get your dog to behave. And then on the back end, you get that result. So it's just, you know, something to be thinking about. Lisa, what I know about your business is that what you and I have had a conversation previously about sustainable clothing choices, which I think is really interesting. I'm not sure every stylist goes there. So I would love to just hang out with that for a moment.
Sure.
Yeah. And there's so many ways to go about it. Why is that important? Like, where did that come into your business? Talk to me about your journey.
Sure. So sustainability was always a thing in my family. We didn't talk about it in that way. You know, I came up in the 60s and 70s when I was young, but it was more about having grandparents that were both immigrants and had survived the Depression. So we came to our family gatherings and decisions around using your resources wisely. So that was kind of like how it percolated. I wasn't conscious of it. I just thought that's how our family did things. Then around 2001, I aligned with Eileen Fisher. That was my employer, and it was a great journey. I was with that brand for 15 years, and the core premise of that brand is sustainability on many, many levels, and that would be a whole other podcast, so I won't bore the audience with all of the details, but they had sustainability both from a process and development of product standpoint in terms of fibers and sourcing, but they also had it in terms of lifestyle. Owning pieces that could give you a curated closet or could mix and match in a really great way, so you didn't have to keep reinventing your wardrobe.
Yeah.
So for 15 years.
That's way before sustainability was.
Oh, yeah. She's a pioneer. She's a real person. The brand is called her name, Eileen Fisher. And if you do any research on her, she was one of the pioneers of this language and this awareness and moving towards sustainability in that supply chain. So it was a really rich career. And I was really taught a lot about sustainability. And it felt very normal to me because of, as I described, the way I was raised. So it was values-based for me. It didn't feel like I had to morph into the culture of the company. Yeah. And then when I decided I was going to kind of go hang my own shingle, I wanted that to be a principle, a value. I know it's a hard sell to people who aren't aware. So I don't always lead with that, because then that's a really, that's hot right now too. People are like, oh, that's too expensive. Oh, that looks too earthy, crunchy, granola. I don't want to dress like that. So we still have to unpack a lot of, or myth bust a lot of what people think about that. So I don't often lead with it, but I do talk about it a lot.
Yeah. I mean, I think your time is coming, because right. I mean, it seems to be more and more a thing. There's documentaries about, you know, the true cost of fast fashion, and obviously environment in general is a massive thing, especially waste habits of waste. And so I'm excited. And especially since you're a door opener, let me just remind you that you are a natural educator that is asking people to innovate. So mm-hmm. I would say you never have to be afraid of leading with that. Actually, we want that from you, whether it's sustainability or, you know, have you thought about this angle in your fashion and why looking good is really important. And for some reason, that's what I'm feeling called to share with you just as like mm-hmm. your coach right now, is that women, just people who are going down the, you know, I guess I should say, like, I'll just say women, and I guess anyone who identifies as a woman, there's a challenge to take ownership of what that means and how that can feel. And we're all working it out. I actually just I'm in the process of creating a guided journey about healthy feminine and healthy masculine, because I want people to have agency around mm-hmm. what is your healthy feminine, what is your healthy masculine. You can actually look at it from your higher self perspective and then claim it and not have to reference outside everyone else's version of that, because there's so many ways to get off track. So you as a stylist, and especially as someone who cares about sustainability, you're at the absolute cutting edge of, you know, female empowerment, women's empowerment, and doing it from a way that might seem a bit, what is it called? Like superficial. And so yes. I would say one of your door opener messages can be, I'm just going to dive in a little bit here with that, is that you're pushing us to reclaim something that seems superficial, but it is much deeper than that. And it can be. And it's all about, like, how do you feel when you look your best? How do you feel when you enter a room and you're just like totally put together? And there's something that happens that's more than just, gee, she looks good. It's like, there's just like an energy that comes off you and a statement that you make when you walk in the room. Is there anything you want to say about all that?
Well, I do. I want to say that it's high time to release the shackles of advertising. And obviously the advertising industry is still very heavily male energy or male dominated. So I find it ironic that men are sort of taking these campaigns on to tell us how we should dress. It's very funny, but very sad. So it's really high time that we reclaim that power for ourselves. What we want to look like should not be dictated by what they're trying to sell out there from an advertising perspective.
Okay.
And now the new form of that, which is somewhat unhealthy as well, is these influencers on Instagram. And they are women, you know, telling other women, you should be thin, you should be hot, you should be. So, you know, I really want people to reclaim their power. You know what you need to be to feel transformed and confident mm-hmm. and fully self-actualize. So, you know, let's get you back in your own body, in your own choices, in your own self.
Yeah. Well, it seems like you have a really good handle then on what I would say is one of your core messages, which is reclaim your power. And also mm-hmm. the words you decide, right? Like you decide what that means for you. And I use the words healthy feminine, but you can say whatever you want, right? Like, and I personally, and Jen, I would love to hear from you on this. I would love to see women who have sort of transitioned through your process because there's nothing like seeing a woman who is radiating with their own delightful power, because there's so many different kinds of power, but we need to see it. Because the stuff that's in the mainstream media or just the easy stuff that we look at on Instagram, that's a very narrow like version of power. Yes. So I personally need to see it. And when I see it, I get it and I put down my money. Jen, mm-hmm. any thoughts around that?
Well, I think that the one thing that you mentioned at the beginning of this was that you are a therapist with a
rolling rack.
Sorry, I have to write it down. I love that. And I think that is, while it's not something people will search unless you're putting it out there to talk about that angle of how you do your service, I think that that's really big is kind of digging into why women want to dress a certain way and then level it up, with your expertise, right? So, you know, whether you need to be comfortable, whether you need to be corporate, whether you need to be on your feet all day, whatever it looks like. And for you to bring that in and say, okay, great, you know, these are your staple type things. And here's how we're going to elevate making them work for you, as opposed to like the Instagram work for you, the I feel good in this work for you. So I that's what I'm getting through this conversation is that there's a real emotional benefit to working with you and choosing your clothes, which, like, you know, back to Christina's point, is there's that sort of superficial element of like, well, you know, it's clothes, but you're doing so much more with the service.
I would also say what's coming through for me on this is that you bring freedom. And here's a version, like, Jen, as you were talking, I was kind of imagining, let's say there's an item of clothing that's a little bit edgy, like, even this is probably a horrible example, but let's just say, you know, those shirts that, like, I was talking to you about this, those, there are these beautiful shirts that are long sleeve, but they show a lot of shoulder. There's kind of like open and then open and then open. It's almost like a pirate shirt, but it hangs and it shows some skin. Like, I could see you having discussions, like putting yourself out there around, like, you know, having people talk about it, like starting, you know, not debates, but just pushing the envelope about, like, when is it okay to wear something like this? Or like a pencil skirt. When is it okay to wear something like that? Like something that is hyper feminine that, I mean, I don't know about you guys, but I just noticed in the Boston area, there's a little bit less open femininity than, you know, I used to live in the Bay Area. Like there, people are wearing like goddessy yoga stuff like way more often than around here. So it's an interesting challenge to really push the femininity envelope. Any thoughts around that?
Like that idea. I think it's hard in Boston. We have this sort of weather issue and we sort of have this old New England, you know, buttoned up kind of thing. We need people to have more fun and tap into exactly what you're saying. You know, how do we bring femininity out? How do we have it work with whatever our job is? How do we have it classy? How do we just have that whole fun, more fun?
And also the whole, because I do sense there are certain rules. I certainly feel them. Like, what are you allowed to wear in certain situations? I just feel like you are perfectly positioned as a door opener to have those conversations because you're kind of a rule breaker is what I'm sensing. Mm-hmm. Even though you have really strong values, you also like to push it. And so, I would love to hear you address things like, what is it okay to wear? Because you're the last person who's going to put rules on people. So it's kind of this, like, this unexpected thing to hear from you, which I love.
Yes.
Right? Like, you're the one who's like, no, you, it's okay to wear everything. Like, no, I challenge you to talk about the rules.
Yeah. And I'm getting a little more comfortable with that. The pajamification of America needs to stop. And I would never tell my clients to wear any clothing that they're not comfortable in, because if you're not comfortable, you can't move. But the fact that probably since the early 2000s, when high tech and biotech became, you know, so competitive to find good employees, that they were willing to have, you know, beer brought in, pizza, pong tables. You don't have to dress up to come to the office anymore, whatever. And that just sort of spiraled out of control. We're now, we're going to Symphony Hall looking like we just rolled out of bed. we're going to sit Shiva, or God forbid, go to a wake service, you know, with a hoodie on. I mean, it's situationality has somehow dropped off of how we conduct ourselves. Yeah. So yes, I'd love to have a few rules
about that. Great. And as far as, you know, I'm just thinking of messaging in general, and Jen, feel free to chime in. Like, you know, we've been going back and forth. Is there anything you want to chime in on what you've been hearing so far?
I would like to trademark pajamification of America. That I wrote it down. I mean, it's so funny. I mean, you know, there is a rule in my house with my kids. They're both avid activewear wearers, but they are not allowed to leave the house in pajamas, you know, fluffy pants and things like that. Those are for in the house. Don't even run to Walgreens in those. Mm-hmm. Put on some leggings.
Leggings are not pants, ladies.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
Leggings are a layering tool that is great, but they are not standalone pants.
See, now, if you're listening to this or watching this, I'm sure you're noticing what I'm noticing is that Lisa's inner vocal power comes forward when she's laying it down like that, right? I'm always paying attention to that with my clients. Like, where is it that I sit up and listen? It's when you say something like that. There's going to be a lot of things like that, but that definitely, I was like, ooh, Lisa's speaking. Let me just, okay, I'm listening. Yeah.
But then we'll... You guys, the other thing that is so sad is women are so vulnerable. So, you know, my coaches, my business coaches will say, well, who are you losing business to? What's your pricing structure? What other women on the North Shore are doing what you do? It's like, I don't lose business to other stylists, or the price doesn't even come up. I lose business to the woman's own vulnerability, their inability to have some of these conversations.
Wow.
Because they think I'm always going to come out of the box like what you just saw. And I don't do that. It's a gentle, until we really get to know each other, it's got to be gentle.
Yeah. Well, I can see you having fun with that. Like you having conversations with more, I don't know if having a chat with coaches and therapists just to kind of go to the soft side of things, just to show that you can go there. Or just having, I could see you doing like a podcast like this with regular women who are challenged by this, and you start bringing them into the fold and show how you work with people. To me, there's it's an art form to figure out when is it time for you to lay it down? Because frankly, even vulnerable women need you to lay it down. There's strength in that and there's stability in that. And I would lean on you for that if I needed, right? Like if I was freaked out, like I just need someone I trust to just tell me what to do, at least for a while. And then I'll settle into myself and trust myself more. So that's a dance. That's a dance. I'm sure you're very used to dancing that dance.
That's a little bit of the tightrope you walk.
Exactly. So just so you know, when I work with clients, I'm always looking for this stuff. Like, what is the stuff that's really that pops? Because there's 5,000 things you could say about what you do. And so it's always like, what is that core messaging? And from my perspective, I'm looking for like an archetype. Like, what's your, not just door opener, but what kind of door opener where it's like, ah, this is me. I love helping people from this place. My messaging becomes clear. Like, just because I do things differently, I always like to explain at this point, right? Like, this is where that comes in. It just simplifies everything. Like, I'm not going to determine that now. Like, this would be a deeper process with you, Lisa. But even just knowing you're a door opener, you can already see, like, we need innovation from you. We need you to strangely and paradoxically lay down the rules. We need you to push us, but not too much, you know? And obviously, because of the industry you're in, empowering femininity, however you're doing that. Like, I definitely feel that for you. And I would just be like looking at messaging around that big time. And then I would help you figure out one way to get out there that is really you. But I love that we have Jen here because Jen goes into like, how's your website doing? How's the stuff you're already doing, like performing? And what are some more practical strategic things that you could do maybe pretty quickly, whether you hire her or whether you just go and do stuff on your own? I wanted to have Jen really, you know, listen to us and then come in with like real, what's a strategy or a few strategies that you might consider. So Jen, what you thinking is, are you ready to rock?
I am. I do have some thoughts. I have two questions for Lisa first. Number one would be, how do people find you now?
Through all the traditional ways, Facebook page, Instagram page, my own website, word of mouth, because it's a highly kind of trust situation. So I'm more apt to find a referral process to be the way that most people tap into me.
And that's never going to go away. So I can't, as a digital marketer, it's really funny how often I come back to that word of mouth and in your community roots and how present you are, where people are talking about you. That being said, of course, when I looked up your website and checked you out and did my exercises to see how you are doing now and what my feedback would be for you, I typed in, you know, stylist, wardrobe consultant, just kind of the, okay, I'm Jen. I'm going to be 50 this year. I would like someone to tell me some staples I can add in my closet so I stop buying junk and know what really is Jen clothes that will last me for years so that I don't go to Marshall's and come out with $200 of junk. Okay, so I would love that. I can put myself in that seat and say, I need Lisa. But when I go to search what I think are the normal terms, which would be a style coach or a wardrobe consultant or image overhaul, whatever I might think is the term to put in to find you, I saw who came up. And I have a whole assessment I don't want to get into now. It'll take too much time. We can talk about that off this chat. I'd love to catch up with you after about it.
Yeah.
But I don't see you in those. So I would like to bring you back to, even though you have awesome messaging that's very unique to you and in your approach that's going to be important to your clients, we still need to get those generic terms ranking for you to show up, so that you have those opportunities. So that would really be my feedback for you is if it's not on your website, you're not going to rank for it. So if you are a stylist consultant or wardrobe consultant or whatever you want people to know your brand as, I would recommend that you add more blog articles and pages. I loved your website. I loved the process. I loved about you. I usually have a lot more feedback about what I think is could be improved on the website as a client. I could really enjoy your website experience, but for finding you, that would be my feedback for adding.
And what did you appreciate about her about you page?
I just feel like you're pretty authentic in your message and your voice and what you talk about and your history and your experience and your approach that is unique. Like I said, you're not just talking about, picking clothes. You're talking about an emotional, experience to benefit your clients and connecting with liking what they're in, right? And feeling good and helping them pick going forward so that you're not like me picking the junk and unhappy with
you thought all for that.
I'm so guilty of it, honestly. I'm so happy about this shirt because this was a different shirt for me and I've worn it like 20 times and I've only had it for a month. I'm obsessed with this shirt. But anyway, and it's a color. I said to Christina, I'm wearing a color today because I usually have a lot of black, white, and gray. Anyway, that's my conversation.
And by the way, I want to say real quick, I want to give Lisa the opportunity to show her mojo. So Lisa, is there anything if like, I'm totally going to put you on the spot.
No, but, I have it all.
Yeah. Sure. Like, is there anything that you would say about how Jen, like what her outfit is doing for her today?
Well, first I'll say, Jen, that I am a black, white, and gray person. So now I'm going to throw the barb over to you, but my coloring and your coloring is very different. So you to me are like a classic beauty. We cannot have black at your face because then we don't see your face. Your skin, gorgeous skin, but black is going to go... And so the color you're wearing is more the color family I would put you in. And I hate to give them these things, these terms, but I would put you in more of a fall color palette. So, you know, an olive green, a nicely done olive green, certain shades of gold and orange, but again, muted fall-esque, maroon, aubergine, eggplant, which starts to get dark like black, so it serves the same purpose, but it's not as harsh.
This is much, right? Look at them.
So I can see why you're attracted to that blouse because it's in that family of wine, that color family. So those are all your colors.
Thank you.
Yeah, for sure. And then I love what she did with her earring because she's giving us a little something, something there. And you just see as she moves a little flick. Okay. So I love that.
These two ornate and boho-y for the shirt. I kind of felt like, I don't know if these go together. I'm terrible at accessories. So.
No, it's a nice little, like I said, surprise. And then I might pair you up with, and I'm not a person because I have asthma and allergies, so I don't have lots of makeup, but I might give you a pop of color on the lip, especially on a Zoom call like this, just to bring another level of surprise out there.
And the worst thing is I did put a little lipstick on, but I'm a chronic. I just do chapstick, so I'm constantly. But thank you. I feel like I just got, you know, an awesome freebie from an expert.
Jen's a classic case of a person who doesn't need really to improve on anything, but by making different selections, she'll feel better and she'll have more ease of dressing and she won't have that doubt. Because even, and I don't want to put you on the spot, I'm not your therapist, but even the way she was just speaking about herself, she was downplaying herself.
Mm.
You know, she said about herself, and I'm sure you didn't even consciously do this, well, I don't really know how to pick accessories. I don't really know how to do this. And she's had a couple of the times where she said that during our conversation. And so working with me frees you from that language, because now you know for sure your game is on. You know how to make decisions. You know what works.
What you just went through, Lisa, is, I mean, that's a great blog post. It's something you should talk about at a networking meeting. You should talk about that like on any social media. If there's somehow you can encapsulate that and just talk about just even the language we use as women to downplay mm-hmm. ourselves. It starts with the fashion, but then it goes into other things, right? So please talk about that. That's really all right. And if you want, like, again, I don't want to put you on the spot, but is there anything you would say to me that either like this is too light or whatever? Like, just give me your expertise so people want to hire you.
Okay. Well, your hair is amazing. Of course, you know, you and I are in that same camp. So right there, she is making a statement to other women that, you know what, being gray, being authentic, being silver is okay. So I love that. I love the cut, but I would definitely add a long earring to just, again, sort of what Jen was able to do, the little flick, the little something special there. I do love your sweater. It's cozy. It's got the gray, but I think, again, you need either with the earring or a little lipstick, one more color to bring some depth out.
Awesome.
So that it's not all, you know, one continual color.
Beautiful. Thank you. Thank you. Yeah. I'm telling you, like, this, just to say something about Zoom, I've actually made very conscious purchases recently for Zoom.
Yes.
Only for Zoom. Cause that's where, you know, this morning I was at a networking meeting and people were like, well, I just can't get my camera together. And it's like, we have been in this for 10 months. It
yes.
is now past excuses time, right? Like, we all know what we're doing. We all know how to do a background, how to stabilize our camera, how to get decent lighting. Like, I spent some money on this background because this is how the world sees me right now. And it's worth it to me. I'm not going to beautiful co-working spaces for my client meetings, right? This is where it's happening. So,
I've been doing some panels on up-level your work from home look. And what we've incorporated is not just how you're looking, but we've had to talk about the lighting. We've had to talk about you have a beautiful piece of art in the background. Implementing the virtual back screen, which I've been using. Whenever I'm the host, I have a virtual back screen because I don't love my office that I'm in.
Yep.
So you're right. I've been telling people, you know, I gave you guys a huge pass for 6 months and then it was summer, you know, and I was like, we'll deal with it in the fall, but we are locked and loaded for another 3 to 6 months. And we all need to up level our work from home game, both physically with what we select, but then all the elements.
And again, this is you laying it down in a loving way. And this is stuff that, I mean, I would want to be hearing from you in your newsletter, on your social media, in any Facebook Live that you might be doing. Right? Like, that message, people are not going to listen to me around that. They're going to hear it from you because you're a stylist and that's kind of your job. And we trust you on those levels. Right. Right. And just know that I have been on YouTube, like YouTube is just so our friend during times like this, because we need to just learn a whole bunch of stuff and it's free and great. Like if you were to put up some stuff on YouTube around these basic topics, like these are huge search. I mean, people are searching how to look good on Zoom. Like that's a thing. And right. Like how to light yourself on Zoom, even though that's not fashion. People are searching on those terms right now and they could find you that way. So the other thing I want to jump in on a practical level is, you know, because Jen had mentioned search terms, couldn't find you, et cetera, et cetera. Like I'm not entirely sure how I would find you, but one thing you could do is to go, this is always my favorite thing to find like hashtags and find tags in general, is to look at people who are doing what you do that have a big following on Instagram and see their hashtags and just like make a big blobby, you know, cut and paste them into a list and use the ones at any given time that are really relevant to what you're doing, because that's going to increase the likelihood of people finding you. And you might as well just learn from people who have a huge following, because obviously it's working.
Right. You know, I will say for you both, what some of us in the small business community, solopreneur, need is, I don't even know what you would call it, a little mini boot camp. Because I think we all know what we should be doing and people are sharing, as you guys are so generously doing. But then I might get off this call and go, oh my lands, how am I going to accomplish all this? Because I think Jen was really talking a little bit about search engine optimization. And SEO can be a very, it can be a tool, or it can be like a, you know, it can cut your whole business in half. You need to know what you're doing. So I would love for, you know, you guys to offer the marketplace a mini boot camp of, here's five things I'm going to teach you how to do, or help you do, or you're going to find a virtual assistant to do it if it's too much for you. Kind of that package of what we need as small business owners, because we have small budgets. And I know as I've gone out to find vendors, they're kind of like, really not. They don't want to say they're not interested in working with you. They kind of try to couch it a little. But yeah, that would be so great to have like that kind of package. I don't know if that's even profitable for you all, or how you would go about it. But I think small business owners, solopreneurs really need that movement beyond the great ideas to how do you implement them.
For a moment, the reason that I do what I do is because I think, Jen, you work with a bit larger companies at Cleverlight. So, you know, if you need a website revamp or like real deep SEO, Cleverlight is your company. Like, you know, especially if you've got a team and a bigger budget. What I do, Lisa, is you know, I do this 4-month program, One Voice, One Strategy, for that very reason. There is so much. I mean, I'm just going to tell you why I do what I do, because it basically addresses what you're talking about. Mm-hmm. I find that there's tons of, you know, I'm overwhelmed. I don't have the budget. I'm resisting. I don't want to get out there. I'm just, marketing is one more thing. So this is one of the reasons why I have people start off with the generosity practice mindset tool, because it basically puts you in this place of like, I love helping people and I'm ready to do that in my marketing, not just in my styling people, but you know, that I can be out there in the world doing good for people. And here's my tower garden, which, you know what, we're just going to have some water noise now. That's what's
I love it. It's awesome.
So I have them do that. It makes them unstoppable. It makes them like really energized to go help people in marketing, not just their work. Like I said, then we do a deep process to identify that deep archetype. Like what's your one voice? What is that amazing way that you help others without even realizing it? So again, it's that energy. It's that I love connecting with people. Then we translate that into a strategy, which is like the strategy, the best way for you to get out there, because it's just who you are and people just sit up and listen when you do this. And it also provides content for everything else that you do. It's amazing. So people who say exactly what you just said, Lisa, like, I can't do it. I don't have the budget. It's like, but that's why focus and simplicity is absolutely key, because down the line, you need to be the one that's out there and consistent. I call it showing your care, devotion, and consistency to your wider community. And yes, you can hire someone to do kind of the social media pieces. And let's say you're doing events, put it up on Eventbrite or wherever you're going to put it, like that back end. But you're the one who needs to come and give the talks. We have a special challenge as solo business owners, because we have to show up. And my whole life is dedicated to making that more of an organic, joyful, energizing, authentic process that shows you at your best and is something that you can just very gently attend to every day. And it transforms you, because I mean, there's something to be said about getting out there. It changes you just as much as it changes anybody else.
Right.
So, you know, the last two steps of what I do is just project planning and accountability, like take the show on the road. I support people in multiple ways to get out there. But the end result is like, you know who you are, you know how to get out there, you're changing lives every time you do it. Like, and you're just a rock star. So I'm sorry if that's a huge plug, but like, you're basically like everything you just said is like, and that's why I do what I do. 'Cause I know those pains.
Yep. Yep.
Was that clear?
That is great.
Yes, we all live those challenges.
Yeah.
I do want to let Jen, you know, you're here and I super appreciate your time. Jen, I would love for you to just explain, you know, what's a good sign that someone needs to reach out to you? I know that's so general, but like, what's a good stage in their business where it's like, yep, I need to reach out to Cleverlite. Here's the stuff that I'm going to get from them.
So I think that anyone who went through the bother of investing in their website and then never touched it again, that's one of the biggest failures as a business owner. They're just so relieved to get it done, because I know it's a headache, you know, getting your content and doing the design review and making revisions. When it goes live, people are like, oh, thank God, you know, and they just want to, okay, I have a website, people can find me. But if you don't touch it, it gets buried by competition, because your competitors are putting new content on it and your competitors are updating it and saying new things and sharing new information. So for me, it's anyone that just was really relieved to get their site live and has no intention on spending time on pushing out relevant content. To Christina's point, for you, Lisa, you're so personal in what you do. So you've really got to contribute your own stories and success stories and client experiences and pictures. So your social is really going to need to rely on your participation to make it your brand. But that doesn't mean you can't work with someone to keep a pulse on it. Just relevant industry news. Our tagline at Cleverlite, Christina nailed it. It's research, replicate, dominate. We never reinvent the wheel, and we never waste your money trying to come up with something cool, because the people in the industry that are the leaders have millions of dollars. They've already spent it. So what are they doing? We don't need to figure out something new. It's all right there for the taking. You just have to look at what the leaders are doing. So I can give you some, you know, I'll give you some secret squirrel information about how you can do it a lot for a lot less money, because I do understand you're a sole business owner and it's small business. Your marketing budgets are really tiny. And I get that. Even our website started a price point that a lot of business owners say, okay, thank you. You know, just because we're just not in their wheelhouse for price point. But I love to give away free advice.
Fun. Which you just did. And I will also add that Lisa, as a solo business owner, it's very compelling to see you act like a leader out in your wider community and not just getting out there and networking, but really taking a stand. And again, this is why I'm obsessed with helping people figure out that one voice, one strategy, because it's not always easy to know what that is. We're too close to it. I mean, for God's sake, I even get feedback like, you know, I still don't quite understand what you do, which is why I'm doing this series in the first place, because I'm too close to it.
Some of that isn't on us. It's societal. You know, there's so much information bombarding people. And I've noticed in recently, especially in the networking meetings on Zoom, that people are like on the phone. They're not trying to be jerks. They're just trying to multitask. So they're like swiping and they're listening, but they're really not actively listening because they're trying to, you know, do too many things. So,
yeah. You know, it'd be really interesting for you. And I know we're at time here, but I will say this. It would be really interesting, especially with the way that you come at, you know, it's really a deeper helping of a woman's soul. Let's just put it that way, right? It'd be so cool for you to address being present on Zoom and really bringing your A game on Zoom. Like, I would love to see you maybe do some kind of curriculum around, you know, bringing your best and being the most present for all of your Zoom meetings, and do it from an outward look perspective, but also, how can you actually just stay in the moment, like close all your applications, put your phone away, like really make Zoom alive in this moment, right?
Yes.
Like, how can we do that? I need help with, like, I would love to get some pointers on that.
Yes, that's so good.
Yeah. Well, Lisa, thank you so much for spending some time.
Thanks for having me.
You're our first, you know, our first guinea pig here. I had fun.
I love the idea.
Yeah. I see a coffee in our future sometime, sitting outside in a few months, and it'll be great to meet you again.
Awesome. I'm going to turn off recording. Hold on. And there you have it. Marketing ideas for a door opener. URLs are in the show notes. One of my most powerful discoveries as a marketer is that everyone has a perfect strategy that shows them at their best at any given time. One thing that is the engine for everything else. If this speaks to you, go on over to onevoiceonestrategy.com and find out more. This program, which is a self-study online program, is a really good way to get started on this path. Be sure to find out your deepest why and your innate marketing genius type at www.innatemarketinggenius.com to discover the answer. You might be a nurturer, an adventure guide, a door opener, a steady presence, or a celebrator. Find out in about 10 minutes. And if you enjoyed this podcast, head on over to Apple Podcasts and give it a good rating and a review. It helps people find this thing. Thanks so much for listening, and until next time on Marketing for Humans.